Henry kept on going. Before he was done, he'd wrapped a small chunk of iron so tightly with wire that when the battery was switched on, that small chunk lifted more than 1,500 pounds, the weight of several big blacksmith anvils. Just so everyone could see, he hoisted the whole thing up on a sturdy scaffolding. Disconnect the battery, and with an almighty crash, this never fails to produce a great sensation, Henry wrote, all that weight would come plummeting down. There are times when it pays to worry about underlying explanations, and there are other times when good, honest tinkering is the best way forward. Future researchers would learn that the atoms we're made of aren't solid little ball bearings, but that parts of them are electrically charged and can be torn off. Those torn-off bits are called electrons, and researchers, by the end of the 1800s, came to believe that they were what rolled forward inside a wire, and it was the power of those charged electrons that gave an electric current its strength. When an electric cable gets cut open in a storm, the sparks that spray out are a sign of the streams of electrons that were inside the cable. Within a phone wire, electrons are rolling forward, and inside a powerful searchlight, even more electrons are moving. Henry himself would become a big part of the research leading up to those findings. In years to come, he became recognized as one of the greatest American physicists of the 19th century, ending up as director of the Smithsonian. But at this point, fairly young and still stuck in Albany, he knew he wasn't going to arrive at much of an explanation for all the lifting and banging his electromagnets could produce. Instead, he invented the telegraph. It was easy enough. He just lengthened the wire that stretched from his battery to the electromagnet. The electrons that poured out from the metals in the battery were powerful enough to seemingly hurtle themselves along. Rather than keep the battery right next to the electromagnet when he turned it on, he could carry it to the next room, or down the hall, or even downstairs. The mysterious electric force would squirt along from his battery through the wire and turn on the electromagnet waiting at the end of the wire. Any lump of iron next to it would be tugged close. It would have been a pretty galumphy telegraph if he'd had to lift it up and then drop giant chunks of metal every time he wanted to send a single letter of the alphabet. Instead, Henry went back to using a tiny electromagnet, even slimmer than the ones that William Sturgeon had created. Right next to it, he put something resembling a small, clickable castanet, like a little metal tongue. Turn on the battery, and a current ran down the wire, the electromagnet powered up, and it pulled the castanet toward itself. You heard a click. Turn off the battery, and the electromagnet let go. You heard another click as the castanet went back. Henry realized it would be easy to communicate just by agreeing that different arrangements of clicks would represent different letters. The electric charges that had been dormant so long in the ancient metals were now coming out to power this click. The Albany schoolboys loved the new invention, especially when Henry let them get rid of the castanet and use the ringer of a bell instead. When one of the kids switched the battery on and off, his friends in the next room or even down the hall would hear the ringer sound in short bursts, just as fast as his hand could move.